Hello there.
We would be honored if you would join us.
Spark of Rebellion.
Hello there and welcome to Spark of Rebellion. This is your weekly Star Wars podcast and welcome to episode 213. I hope you are keeping well and safe and that you're doing something Star Wars-y related. As we've got some cool news that have landed, has landed in the last week or so. So coming up, we are going to talk about a couple of people that are returning to Star Wars in some form or another, potentially. We've got some cool cinema stuff in the run-up to the May the 4th celebrations, and then we're going to talk about some stuff about the Acolytes. So a new trailer and some info was dropped for that again in the last week, and that's gained a lot of traction really quickly, so we're going to dive into that a wee bit and chew the fat on that stuff. So my name's Gary, I'm one of your hosts here at Spark of Rebellion, and before I bring on my co-host, just a gentle reminder to make sure that you are following or subscribing to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts. That way you won't miss an episode when it lands every single Saturday. And for our subscribers, our members, we love you guys. They get the episode a day or two early. So Michael, Dennis, Kev, Danny, you guys are awesome. Thank you very much for your continued support. And if you want to support the show, you can do that over at sparklerebellion.com/support. And everything we make there goes back into the show to make sure you're getting all the content sounding good, production, early stuff, swag, merch, all the stuff. It all goes back in, so thank you very much for that stuff. So as I said, my name's Gary. My co-host, who I couldn't do the podcast without, is the guy that makes, on a good day, well, even a bad day, I suppose, to make Mon Mothma blush. It's Mr. Mark. How you doing, dude?
She a minx.
She a MILF. Chicks a MILF. American Pie. Years ago now. That. Yeah.
Come and rebel against this, Mon Mothma. I've got an attitude you can fight me on. Let's just have a little bit of flirtatious banter and then take it to the Chinese restaurant.
And that wasn't rude, by the way. That was an acronym for Mum, I'd like to Facebook.
Nothing, yeah, FaceTime.
Nothing more.
Any of those?
Yeah. Insert whatever. Yeah. Okay, not in a rude way.
Anything beginning with F that is not the word that you think it is from the internet version of American Pie, the extended cut.
Yeah.
2001.
Yeah, that's what I thought straight away as we started talking about that.
Exactly that.
How you been, dude?
You said you can't do the show without me, but you are doing next week, I would have thought, because I'll not be here, will I? I'm off at Podcast Movement.
I meant that as more of sort of a holistic.
Oh, top
you
know, level.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
I can do it without you, of course.
Yeah, probably know that, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people do know that by now.
Yeah.
But next week.
Well, that'll be next week.
Yeah.
Be a good one. Some news going. I was trying to think what I've done Star Wars this week before you asked me. Not done much, you know. Oh, no, I watched Bad Batch. Actually got caught up on it and I've downloaded 3 episodes. What's gone on with that? Actually, I'm going to ask you. What's gone on?
First of all, you've downloaded 3 episodes.
Yeah,
you've not...
Download, yeah, off on from the Disney Plus app to the offline version so I can watch it on my iPad on the plane.
On the plane.
Yeah, not like... It's not LimeWire.
Oh, right.
Imagine that. But what's gone on with that? I expected an episode per week, but it seems like 3 have dropped this week.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think because there's quite a few episodes, as usual with the Bad, it's not like the limited run stuff where you get sort of 3 or 6. I think they're just doing this, you know, the US guys, our American friends, they normally do this mid-season thing. That's quite a popular thing for TV shows. Mm. So when you get sort of halfway through, you have like a little build up and a little mini finale sort of thing. So you pop a few episodes around that. I think that's what it is.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. Well, anyway, I've got 3 of them.
3 to go through, sure.
But I think that takes me to try, like, having watched 9 of them, which seems like it's not been out that long. But anyway, been watching that and then trying to get through this choice as a one book. I'm now at 54% and it's only just getting interesting.
That's books for you. Sometimes
I know it just feels a bit odd because there's like Timothy Zahn's in there, and I don't know, like, if there's some I don't know, I'll talk about it another day, but I don't know if there's some like weird retconny stuff going on. Like, it's set after A New Hope, but Thrawn's in it working for the Empire as like a captain. I know, right? I thought even in old Legends canon he bailed before that, or not, maybe he didn't, maybe he bailed after that. Well, that's what I thought. Maybe we're just confusing ourselves, but anyway, That's what I've done Star Warsy. What have you done Star Warsy?
Good. Yeah, the only thing I've done, dude, is same as you, just I've watched The Bad Batch. I've not downloaded it. I've watched up to the current bit.
Streamed.
Yes, over Wi-Fi. Mm. Oh, Wi-Fi is pretty good. So I don't have the buffering thing. Just press play and enjoy. As you'd hope. So yeah, we won't talk about The Bad Batch too much because we're going to do an end of season roundup. We'll do it at the end, won't we?
Do it at the end. Don't want to do it all at once. I was thinking about this because we didn't get a chance to watch it. And I love doing the reviews, but it does take, like, if you think about it, it would take us away from all the news for like, what, 20 weeks?
Mm. That's a good point. So yeah. It's right for something like, even though when Obi-Wan Kenobi was out, that's only a few weeks, isn't it? But
yeah, exactly.
Was it 6 weeks? How many episodes in that?
6 or 8 weeks. Worst case, yeah. 6 or 8 weeks.
Yeah, 6 or 8. Yeah.
Or more, or less.
Yeah. Frogs. Take your pick.
Times.
Different times. Yeah. So, 213, dude. We have to talk about some news. Our dear listeners,
it's the classic 213 move.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Get moving. I know Kev's listening right now. He's thinking, guys, I love you, but Jesus, can you get on with it? Nearly 10 minutes in.
I know, right? We always do. We either have two types of show. Where it's either like straight in because we're both a bit tired and like, let's get through some mint news, or we've got a bit of energy and then it's bullshit for 10 minutes.
Yes. Well, we must be doing something right, I guess, because we'd have zero listeners and we don't.
Yeah.
We have two. So perfect. Right. Patty Jenkins, dude. Remember she did that really cool trailer years ago?
Yes.
She's in the car park at some airstrip putting the old rollerblades on. And then the camera pans around and you think, oh, it's going to be, there's either going to be Tom Cruise behind her or there's going to be a fighter jet or both. Turns out it was an X-Wing. Everyone lost their mind. It was like, yes, it's going to be Top Gun in space. And then in typical Disney, you and I called it at the time, but in typical Disney fashion, that didn't happen. If you think about all the stuff, right, I understand the mentality, just as a side thing here. I understand the mentality because you and I have done this for years where in our industry, sometimes you just got to ship it. Sometimes, you just don't sweat the perfection details. You just get it out to the world and then you iterate and blah, blah, blah. Disney seemed to do the same thing, or they used to. They put quite a bit of money into these sort of reveal trailers and doing all the, you know, the branding work and the logo and stuff like that. And then it fell by the wayside. It's confusing to me why you do that. But anyway, she announced it, the Wonder Woman director. Very cool. And then that fell through. She went off to do Wonder Woman 3. That fell through as well. I'm beginning to think, Patty, that the problem's not the other people.
There's only one constant. No, that must have been a tough one for her. Do you think it was the Wonder Woman thing that stopped the Rogue, whatever it's called, squadron?
I do. Yes. I think, now let me just caveat this by saying that my thoughts, your thoughts, thoughts of SOR are not against any kind of thing here. But what I'm saying is from a female power perspective, representation for female workers in the industry, I think that her motivation for ditching Star Wars to go and do Wonder Woman was, a lot of it was based on that, you know, if you want to. And we've had that in Star Wars, even with the new Dawn of the Jedi thing, you know, with that director and stuff. But I think Patty Jenkins did it on a more subtle level. So I think, you know, given the choice between doing a Star Wars film, which she obviously clearly wants to do, but at the time wanting to do the Wonder Woman thing, I think that trumped it because of that, you know, women in Hollywood wanting to do a thing like that. Not from any negative point of view, that's just what her, you know, what her thing was. But then, you know, gutting for her, the whole Wonder Woman 3 fell through. But it turns out that when she was talking to, presumably, Kathleen Kennedy and some other people at Lucasfilm, they actually worked out a deal to say, look, I still want to do the Star Wars thing, but I really want to do this other thing over here. So can we work out a deal that when that's done, I can come back and do the Rogue Squadron thing with you guys? And they were like, yeah, cool, you know, go and, you know, keep up the doodling, go and do that thing that you want to do and come back. So that's kind of what's really happened. You know, the only thing that we have to take out of the equation is the Wonder Woman film didn't happen. So you take that out, she still wants to come back. So now she was doing an interview with somebody, and she goes on to say that she owes a draft of Star Wars, because she said when she left to do Wonder Woman 3, she said, maybe I'll come back to Star Wars after that. So she did a deal, and they were like, yeah, cool, you know, go and finish that. So that's the deal. So either a handshake deal, something in with a signature, I don't know. But she has to come back and do something, whether that's just a first draft of a script or whether she has to follow it through and direct the whole thing, who knows? But, dude, that film could still be on the cards. Who knows?
Yeah, it'd be quite interesting, that one. It's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's like, I didn't really like the games too much, and I've not read a lot of the X-Wing books, because I find, honestly, even with Alphabet Squadron, the new canon, not the old canon X-Wing books, I can find them a little bit hard to follow, because it's that frenetic that it's not that easy to listen in listen to the narrative whilst trying to digest the people that you're reading about. So it's sort of one of those things where I wasn't that excited about it, like, initially. And then because it's Star Wars, and because it's like announced, and it's not really going to happen, is it not going to happen? But it's one of those interesting things where, like, I'm always up for more Star Wars, and I think it's interesting to see that they're going in different directions with it, and they're bringing more to the table in regards to, like, different stories, non-Skywalker saga stories. But I'm always just worried now that it's just going to be a bit average from a movie perspective. Like, we're a bit burnt by Rise of Skywalker, and we're a bit like, like, it's weird, because, like, we know that the Jedi and the Skywalker saga stuff is the stuff that sells. We know that. Look at the Acolyte trailer, which we'll get to later. Look at, like, Obi-Wan, look at Ahsoka. We know that Andor worked, and so on and so forth, but he we'd seen him in Rogue One. So it's just, yeah, it's one of those interesting challenges, I think. And am I annoyed about Wonder Woman 3? Not really. The first one was great. Second one was crap. Really, really not good. What a waste of Maxwell Lord that was. So it was, yeah, it's a shame for Gal Gadot. It's a shame for Patty Jenkins. But with Safran and Gunn doing their own DCU now, that's hardly surprised. So pretty ambivalent on this one, mate. I've got no major thought on it, you know?
Same.
I'm just ambivalent on it.
Yeah, same, dude. I can't really wrap my head around a sort of a X-Wing, like a squadron film. That, to me, seems like a couple of episodes you would throw into something like The Bad Batch or something. You know, you'd meet up with these cool kind of pilots and, you know, an entire film. I don't know. It could be cool. Who knows? I don't know.
But I think the hard thing is, sorry to interrupt, I think the tough thing is you've got to make people care about the characters, because clearly someone's going to get in a dogfight and get blown up, right? Mm-hmm. So you've got to make them care about, like, we all gave a shit about Goose. Oh, and Goose. So you've got to Goose it. Got to Goose it.
Yeah, you've got to kill someone off partway through.
Yeah. Lose the Goose. And then you've,
and then you've got the gander.
So,
yeah.
Profit on that.
Yeah. Same, dude. Someone else that might be returning to Star Wars, dude, is old Esposito. Not the song. Giancarlo Esposito might be coming back as Moff. Now, I say might be coming back. This is all one of... it's almost like a throwaway story, this dude. This is like a 30-second thing. But like we said a billion times, if you're in Star Wars, you're always in Star Wars. So every interview that you ever do, regardless of the project, you'll always be asked, are you coming back to do something to do with Star Wars? And that's what he was asked with GQ magazine. And he said, I love the Star Wars universe. That's not a PR thing, by the way, that they all say. Do you know what? The only person that's ever really come out and said, yeah, that was shit, I think is John Boyega, you know. I think he's the only guy that ever sort of said, yeah, you know, Star Wars is great and everything, but my personal experience in some areas, it was absolute BS, mate. So for that reason, I'm out. Pretty irrelevant when you fast forward 7 or 8 years. You're coming back? Yeah, I'd love to come back. Anyway, he said he loves the Star Wars universe, but he doesn't have any plans because I haven't called me. I love Moff Gideon because you have something that I want, blah, blah, blah. He says, come on, I came back to the third season. I don't have a mustache. Then you see all the clones. You put it all together. So, dude, nothing on this, but basically saying he'd love to come back.
Yeah, this I really like this guy as well. I've just finished watching Better Call Saul. It's been my treadmill TV show, and it's absolutely brilliant. Like, probably better than Breaking Bad in my view. And he's just absolutely a legend in the entire thing. So I really like this guy. I'm a big fan of it. But it's like you said, there's not much to this one. It's sort of taking all the fan speculation of, well, he had a mustache. No, he didn't. Did he have a mustache? Are you sure he had a mustache? And just laying it on, isn't it? I mean, that's going to be his stance forever. But I mean, it's like you said, it's Star Wars. There's always a get out of jail free card, isn't there?
Always.
When it comes to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Always, always, always.
Yes. Yeah. So I imagine he'll come. He will be back at some point. I imagine in that Filoni film. I reckon he'll be back for that.
Yeah. It's one of those things as well where he could, because it's what Thrawn's doing, it's one of those things where he could easily make a cameo, but a useful cameo. Like, Thrawn's got clones. What? Are you joking? That fucking what? This? But is the Emperor's definitely not doing that, is he? No chance, no chance. Are you sure? So there's definitely no more clones, yeah? What are you doing here?
Because we're happy to
and
see
he's
him.
Just, he's just cloned himself out. And it could be a psycho clone. It could be a failed clone. It could be a clone that just gets wiped out by a Jedi. Or it's just like, it's sort of like the proof of concept for clones, isn't it? You know, when it comes to like the Empire having figured it out, it's like, right, okay, we recognize this guy. Great cameo, but also moves the plot forward. Oh shit, if they can do that, maybe they can do this. But you know what happened with the whole fan service thing? Oh, what's this fan service all about? Yeah, that's right, mate. You definitely, definitely do not want to see this, do you? So what are you going to do? You're just going to get up and leave the cinema? No, I doubt it. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fandom, dude. We were having a similar discussion around Doctor Who, the new season of Doctor Who that lands in May. They've changed up the broadcast time. So instead of us Brits getting it at a cozy 6-7 o'clock where you're having your tea, it's now dropping at midnight on BBC iPlayer. And then in the US, they get it in the evening. And the entitled fans, man, are kicking off. You're all going to stay up at midnight and watch it, you know?
Is it midnight on the Saturday as opposed to like the Friday? So do you get it later?
Yeah, so it's midnight on the Friday night and then later on BBC One during the day as usual.
And when does it normally come out then? Does it normally Saturday night at like 6 or 7?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
So let me get this straight. They're kicking off because they're getting it 18 hours early. And if they want to watch it at 6 o'clock, they can go to the on-demand iPlayer and turn it on as if they were watching it on BBC One. That's what they're kicking off about, yeah?
That's what they're kicking off about, yep.
Right.
But it's in a similar vein, it's like Star Wars fans to a degree. You know, they will kick off and say how something's rubbish and crap and it's, you know, before the things even come out, it's been judged and stuff. They'll all go and see it still. There was something about Disney have made something like $12 billion off of Star Wars since it purchased it back in whenever. And that's because fans are buying all the shit and seeing all the stuff, but they're still complaining about it, you know? So,
Wait till we get to the Acolyte trailer. There's been some beauties on that.
Oh, yeah. Yes. It's fandom, dude. It's crazy. It's nuts, but yeah. Anyway, a couple of people might be coming back to do a Star Wars-y thing. Who knows?
Probably not, but probably. Like one of them, innit?
Yeah. This is Star Wars after all. It might happen.
Yeah.
Will do. Probably. Nah. Maybe.
Well, they'll announce it and then they'll cancel it. So it's like, that's why it's probably, but probably not. Who freaking knows?
In a few years, dude, you'll probably be back at Disney World, won't you? Doing the old Galaxy's Edge thing. In between those times, kicking off in April, we've got some new stuff happening over at the Galaxy's Edge stuff. New nighttime experiences, new merch, all that stuff. So that's just been announced. So something called Fire of the Rising Moons is a new nighttime experience that will happen on select nights. Starting at on April 5th, which will be a different view of the Disneyland fireworks display, with obvious musical accompaniment. You can't have fireworks without the music, of course. So anyway, Disney World, Disneyland, they're renowned for like their massive, impressive Star Wars, fireworks displays happen all the time. So mm-hmm. now we've got Star Wars theme stuff going on, and it's going to be, it could be the full-on proper Star Wars stuff. John Williams soundtrack is going to be going on, and you'll also be able to do the Star Tours thing. So you and I said that Jar Jar might be back for that, possibly, who knows. There's a bunch of new Star Wars Star Tours things happening, and then they're also going to introduce Asako into this now, along with Cassian Andor, Grogu and the Mandalorian. So that's going to be up to date with all that stuff. Mm. And then they're also going to do some limited merch, as you'd expect. You can't have all this stuff at a Disney thing or a Star Wars thing without the merch. So it's going to be new hoodies, jackets, t-shirts and stuff. So again, only a small update on this, dude, but at least we're getting a good update to the parks. So outside of all the films and games and everything, when you're going to actually physically interact with something Star Wars, you need that to be up to date. So yeah, new stuff, dude, at the parks.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, man. I love the idea of the fireworks on a night, because I think that's a great thing for Disney. But you know, once you've done it, you've done it. But it's one of those, I think it's interesting, like if you consider the future of Star Wars, I just don't see you investing all this money in the attractions if the people that you're putting in them are not part of the future. You know, so it's, yeah, it's interesting. But then they added a load for the sequel trilogy, what's that, 10 years ago? So I don't know. We don't know if we'll see many of those characters again outside of like the Jedi Order stuff. Like Kylo Ren's a big player over at Disney World when it comes to like one of the characters, and everything is First Order. So it's an interesting one to see. I suppose, you know, does it give away anything about the intent, or is it just actually all this stuff's been out in the media, so let's just capitalize on it for 10 years, and then in 10 years... You know, are they updating the parks in retrospect to look at what's come before, or is it a sign that they're actually putting more into what they're updating it with on the big screen or the TV shows? And I suppose thinking about it, we've got no idea, because there's no, can't really see any pattern with it. But it's, Do you know what I mean? It's like if you spend all your money putting Andor in, we know Andor dies in Rogue One and he's got a season two and that's it. You know?
Yeah, it's always it's a puzzling one, the Star Wars element of Disneyland and Disney World, because in my opinion, I was always puzzled by the direction they went with. Like you said, when they first introduced Galaxy's Edge, it was very sequel driven Star Wars, you know, and that was always weird to me, because when you're going to Disney World, I'm not pigeonholing, but there's a lot of families that go, you know, it's a very family mm-hmm. thing, obviously. So if you're taking your mum and dad, or your nephew or your grandparents, whatever, you've got like a very wide age group there. So you would have thought that they would have capitalized on all of Star Wars, as in, let's have a bit of original trilogy stuff in there. Let's have a little bit of this and a bit of that. But it was very kind of narrow focused on just the sequel stuff, it seemed, and the First Order and all that stuff. So maybe this is just an effort, I guess, to expand on that stuff, whether you, like you said, whether that's just a, not a knee jerk, but a, you know, the Mandalorian's been popular, so let's put the Mandalorian in there. I don't know, man. It's weird, but it's good. It's been updated nonetheless. It's just, you know, how do you really capitalize on Star Wars at a Disney park where you've got more than just your average Star Wars fan walking through the gate, you know?
Yeah, and that's the thing, isn't it? You sort of need enough for the general, okay, holy crap, that's Star Wars, nice one, let's go to Toy Story. You know, Millennium Falcon, the X-Wing, Stormtroopers, Jedi. And like you said, you need the deep cuts. But you like you said and alluded to there, you like need the generational deep cuts.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You need OG, original trilogy stuff, you need a bit of prequel, this, that, and the other. So it's... Yeah, it is difficult, because I have to admit, like when we went, it's amazing, but it was mostly sequel trilogy. I'm like, ah. And it's, you know, with the risk of sounding like a fanboy, it's like, this is not really my Star Wars. Like, and don't get me wrong, I love it and really enjoyed it, but it's not really my Star Wars. Do you know?
Yeah, it's like they put a lot of eggs in one particular Star Wars basket.
Yeah. And that's the thing that they're trying to... I mean, sequel trilogy, and they're trying to sell toys to kids of Kylo Ren and whatever else, which I totally get. But it's, you know, yeah, I would have personally, I'd have bought more like prequel and OG trilogy merch. Of course I would like. But then I'm at the target audience. It's such a complex... This is why they're amazing at it and we aren't, because like it's a full... Like, it's its own economy, essentially. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, agree, dude. That's like it's... Yeah, it's a big beast to tame, isn't it? So there, if you're off to the Disney parks at some point, check out the old updates to Galaxy's Edge. We're going to talk about some cinema stuff, dude. Just a couple of quick things on this. So, May the 4th. Not sure if this is going to happen in the UK, but definitely it's happening in the US for a bunch of cinema chains. But they're going to be, streaming then. No, not in a cinema. They're going to be playing all 9 films, the Skywalker saga. They
downloaded them.
They did, yeah. Where's this USB stick, dude? Because
is it full 1080? Is it 1080i? Yeah. That's all we could get. All right, go on, that'll be fine. They'll not know.
Yeah. We paid extra for this kind of 8K laser, laser picture, Dolby, whatever.
Forgot your 720. Glasses.
Yeah, dude, do you remember 3D cinema? That was amazing, wasn't it? The old 3D glasses.
Yeah. I actually used to quite some of the IMAX stuff. I really liked that. You know, when you used to go and watch like an IMAX shit. I was well in for that.
Yeah, it was all right. When there was, I remember seeing Toy Story 4 in 3D.
Oh, wow. I didn't expect that. But I remember, I think, because what was that, 2019? I think I did, actually.
Mm. Ah, it's faded away a little bit, 3D. So, Star Wars is not going to be in 3D unless you've got Apple Vision Pro and you're watching The Force Awakens.
It's a cracking story.
Yeah. So...
It's not going to be in 3D.
Yeah.
Won't be coming to the cinemas. In fact, they're all been deleted.
May the 4th, if you're in the US, you can absolutely book tickets to see all 9 films in one shot, which is fairly epic. Get your pajamas on, bring a snack, get yourself a little colostomy bag fitted, and you'll be sweet. In the run-up to that, it's going to be some cool stuff. One of those things being... Hayden Christensen has been over at the Empire State Building in New York to switch on the lights apparently they do this a lot. I didn't realize there's a switching on of the lights ceremony, and this was a Star Wars themed one. And he was there. There was the 501st. They were there, and they've got like this little exhibit now. It's got like a little display where you can check out all the Star Wars things and go up to the observatory deck and look at all the Lego and all that stuff, which is very cool. And then once you've done all that hype stuff and you're in the cinema, you're also going to be given a limited edition poster. We assume that it's the recent one by Matt Ferguson for the Phantom Menace, perhaps. And then on top of that, you'll get a wee little exclusive trailer for The Acolyte just before that drops. That drops at the beginning of June. Mm. So some cool stuff, dude, in the run-up to celebrate the old Star Wars day, focusing on the prequels with the Phantom Menace and all that stuff. So are you hoping, if they did this in the UK, would you go and do the lot at the cinema? Or was that too much?
I've been trying to get the Phantom Menace tickets and I can't find them anywhere. I've looked on like the usual Cineworld and all that sort of stuff, but even like Showcase Cinema that usually does them. And I just can't find them anywhere. So it's just going to be a fingers crossed on that one. But would I do all 9 films, 2.5 hours times 9? That's 24 hours pretty much. No.
No, straight out, just nah, not for me.
Nah.
It's a lot.
Because if you think about it, right? Think about it. You get in there, you're cracking on, brilliant. Prequels, sound, right? Smash through the original trilogy. Oh, fuck, sequels are next. Force Awakens, brilliant. All right, Last Jedi, I'm in for it. And then you get right team, spend all that time, you've eaten all that crap, and the culmination of it all is Rise of Skywalker. I'm not falling for that.
Why is he walking out?
Not happening. Not happening, mate.
Yeah, I was in two minds about it. I was like, I don't know.
If they did them individually, I'd be like, I'll go see Phantom Menace, I'll go see Revenge of the Sith. Maybe Star Wars, New Hope. Maybe like the other two from the OT. Maybe. Like, just let me pick and choose.
Yeah, true.
But then I suppose I could pick and choose, but then I'd lose my seat. Nah, fuck this, it's too complex.
It's too, too much into that. And
I did Avengers and Iron Man 3, that nearly killed me. And then I did Batman Begins and Dark Knight.
Mint.
Nightmare. Long, man.
Yeah. It's one of those things that I will always be confused about. When I went to see The Dark Knight, my wife was snoring halfway through that film. And I was like, look, love, I know this is, you know, fairly long film. It's, as far as films go, it's fairly long. But come on.
I rewatched it for, it's how old, and man, it does not feel that long.
Not, but just because it's so engaging, right? The performances are so good.
Mm.
Draws you in. Doesn't feel like, what is it, 2 hours, 40 minutes or whatever?
Yeah, it is a beast of a film. I get it, but no.
She was snoring.
No.
I could hear this. Yeah, that's why. No, he looked down.
Head
on my shoulder. She's just snoring. I'm like, come on, babe. But then again, she snored through Rogue One.
Oh, what?
So, yeah. I just don't take the missus to the cinema anymore. That's the key there.
Not a genre girl. Okay.
We're going to see the new Ghostbusters film tomorrow night, so whether she'll sleep through that or not, who knows? Who knows?
That looks all right, actually.
Reviews have been a bit hot and cold, but I don't really care about that. If I like it, I like it.
I don't bother with reviews anymore.
Nah. Otherwise, our Star Wars views would be very different on the films.
Yeah.
Right, that's your cinema stuff sorted, right? If you're in New York, then go and check out the Empire State Building. Some cool stuff there. If you want to grab your tickets, do that. You'll get your poster and you'll check out the exclusive preview of The Acolyte, which we're going to finish up with now, dude. So the trailer dropped out of nowhere as well. Like normally with Star Wars, you get that thing, don't you? You get that few days build up where it's like the official Twitter account or the Instagram will be like some cool stuff dropping soon. Or, you know, make sure you're around at midnight if you're awake. Got some cool stuff. But out of nowhere, the poster dropped first, which looked mint with a date on it. He's like, oh, sweet. That's not too far away. And then the trailer dropped the next day, which is awesome. So first of all, dude, before we talk about some of the toy line that's already been announced for it, what did you think of the trailer? Because as a side note bit of news, apparently this broke all the records for all the Disney-based Lucasfilm Star Wars trailer stuff. It was the most downloaded, streamed, watched trailer out of all of the Star Wars stuff. So that's cool. What are your thoughts on this, man?
First, I really liked the poster. I thought that was a really good way of introducing the Acolyte, like a lightsaber trailing blood instead of it's the way that posters used to be done, like maybe 15 years ago when the artists were coming through, like Matt Ferguson and what's his name, Raid 71 and all them. They were doing posters like that for movies and just taking this really small piece of concept from the film and then turning them into these really simplistic pieces of art. And it's like the main studios have started to do it, and it really works, man. Like you said in the work chat, it was very evocative of like the crate scenery, you know, big red contrasting against a very pale background. Really, really smart work. And then I watched the trailer and obviously saw like the High Republic people, Vanessa Rowe and a few of the other characters and so on. And I thought this looked awesome. I'm probably a bit biased because I'm coming off reading the Darth Bane trilogy, which I think are up there with my favourite books now, them and the Thrawn books. And there was a lot of shades of it. A lot of shades of it. And I'm going to be really interested to see if they play any of that into canon, you know, because we know this takes place just before Phantom Menace, you know, in Star Wars terms, you know, 100 years or whatever it is before. Or does it? I think it's a bit tighter up than that, actually. I think it's maybe it's 100 years, maybe it's a bit tighter up. But the point is, it's right at the back end of the High Republic, like the back end of the High Republic. So just really interesting concept, man. You know, just, but it sort of interests me that, like, we know that Darth Bane and Xana died 1,000 years before Phantom Menace. An old Yoda says there's been no Sith for 1,000 years since that. And then there's red lightsabers being thrown around. So, like, there's a lot to explain in that from a canonical perspective. So I'm very interested by it. I saw one of the choreographers as well say that the fight scenes were very much in between the original trilogy and the prequel trilogy. Like, there was a lot more stunt coordination but overlaid with a level of speed that is more akin to like the prequel trilogy as opposed to the original trilogy. So like more actual choreography versus, you know, fencing style. And it really shows, you know, more sequel trilogy style where it's fast, but not too fast. I mean, we could probably talk about this forever, but I really liked it, man. I liked seeing Vanessa Rowe, who's the green, I can't remember, a species, maybe like Marillion or something. She's a Jedi who was a Padawan back in the High Republic books. So it just gives you an insight into some of the timings. Nice to see Carrie-Anne Moss finally getting to do some telekinesis properly outside the Matrix. Interesting to see, are these Sith? Are they just Sith acolytes? And just, you know, just a lot of questions. So I thought it was a really well put together trailer. And the clothing, I know it sounds weird, this, the clothing, the costume design is really interesting as well, because the dark side wielder is very on the purple scale, which is very unusual. But the costumes for like the Padawans and everyone else in it, and even the Jedi to a degree, really have got like one foot in the prequel era, but also the really well designed against like the covers that you see on the High Republic books. They had a lot more utility, like utility belts, a lot more vests, a lot more, a lot less robes, a lot more, I wouldn't want to say combat, but more utility style clothing seemed to be brought out in that design aesthetic. So just, it looks like they've done a good job so far. And I don't even want to guess at the story, man, because I just, there's a lot of questions to answer. The biggest one being, if this is a Sith, why does Yoda say that they've not been seen for 1,000 years? Do you know what I mean? And what are they going to do with Yoda? Is he going to pop up? Is he not going to pop up? So, yeah, keen for it, man. Keen for it.
Yeah, same. Yeah, very keen. I think there's a reason why it's been viewed so much. Purely because, you know, you and I were, we were talking earlier about stuff with Jedi cells, right? Lightsabers and Jedi and the Force and stuff. Usually the Skywalker stuff. That's the thing that draws the crowd in and sells. I also think that, like you and I think the wider Star Wars fandom, there is an appetite for more of the dark side stuff. Yeah, and that whole Sith thing, because Star Wars is one of those unique franchises where right from its inception up to, you know, the early days and whatnot, it was not just the goodies that were viewed as, you know, our kids, you know, they want to be like Luke Skywalker ever. The bad guys were also viewed as really freaking cool. So even if, you know, Darth Vader was viewed as the baddie, the enemy, everybody wanted the toy of Darth Vader. Everybody wanted to do, you know, the red lightsaber like Darth Vader. So I think just inherently there's this appetite just to really dive into the stuff that's the, you know, the direct opposite of all the Jedi stuff and that. So for that reason, I think the Acolyte has got that unique pull. So I'm not saying that the other stuff that they do doesn't, like the Mandalorian and Andor, it's all cool. It was all very cool, but it, you know, that's kind of, that's still focusing on the good guy. You know, that's still the, you know, the goodie. So the Acolyte to me has got that real unique, it's just more sort of, everyone's intrigued more than anything about what's going on with the Sith at this particular time period, because it's known, we've already had the setup, if you like, you know, with, like you said, Yoda referencing that we've not seen Sith for X amount of years and what's going on with that. And then all of a sudden we see a trailer with what looks like the Sith. So how is that going to be explained away? So a combination of the whole dark side thing around that era, who is going to be the Sith if, you know, there is the Sith? Is it Plagueis? Is it whatever? To cut long story short, for me, there's two elements that make it very cool. The first one is the whole intrigue, what's going on with that. And the second thing, it's the tone is very different for this, which is so good. Like the openings bit where you've got, who's the Jedi? Is it Sol, Jedi Master Sol? Just his voice when he's talking to the younglings and, you know, and that whole thing. It's got a real epicness to it. If that makes sense, even though it's just it's just a Disney Plus streaming thing. It's not an epic film or part of a trilogy. I don't know. It's got that real, like shit's going to get real. You know, it's not like The Mandalorian where you have like three filler episodes and then you get to the end of the season and then the shit gets real with Luke turning up. This has got that.
Mm.
Oh my God, like probably two episodes in, we're in for it. So I think it's cool,
fingers
man.
Crossed on that one.
Yeah.
Because it's if you think about it, the High Republic era ends on Revenge of the Sith, really. That's the, you know, when the Jedi lose all of their power, you know what I mean? That's it, they're all gone. And yeah, it was crumbling before that, but it was, I think this will lead into, to show that hubris really starting to come into the fore as well. You know, it is, they're all powerful. They're sort of a little bit untouchable because the Sith have not been around for 900 years at this point. You know, we're sort of just playing by the numbers now. You know, anything needs sorting, you send the Jedi, everyone's a bit scared. That's it, jobs are good. And a few skirmishes, but since, you would imagine, since like the whole High Republic Starlight Beacon stuff and the Nihil, there was probably not that much going on. And I think it'll be interesting because it fuses as well the prequels insofar as you see the Jedi Temple from what we can tell. You see the younglings training, the Padawans training at the what appears to be Coruscant on the Jedi Temple. So I think it will just serve as a nice way to tie everything together. And I would suspect, and there are people far smarter than we are writing this, but I would suspect that this is probably not a Sith. It's probably someone that has studied the dark side that thinks the Sith is dead and thinks that they are maybe resurrecting the Sith or that they're doing the good work of the Sith in targeting Jedi in some way. There'll be a personal connection somewhere as well, obviously, but I just wonder if we're going to start to see things like, it is Plagueis or whoever came before Plagueis to train Plagueis and actually stop fucking about with your red lightsaber because you're going to get us all killed sort of thing. You know, and just start to see how that maybe ties into, because they're on about green light in season two, you know, just how does that then tie into some of the Plagueis stuff? Because the in canon, the origin of the Sith really has not been touched, the way that it led to the Phantom Menace. We could go around in circles on that forever and just speculate. But I'm fascinated by it. I think it would be really, really interesting. And I hope what you say is right. I hope that it's not bits are good, bits are filler, bits are good, bits are filler. I just hope, I'd rather have a shorter season of everything being, you know, on pace, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. That'd be very cool. I don't know how many episodes are in this initial season. It's probably going to be 10.
I don't know. We're going 6 to 8. I'd say eight
maybe. Yeah. Anyway, it should be good. So I've watched the trailer like 5-6 times. It's very cool indeed. And then just lastly, to finish up, I think I know the answer to this. So although we're very much looking forward to The Acolyte, and it looks good, they have announced a bunch of toys for it already. So Hasbro have announced the initial wave anyway, toy lines. I'm not going to pick any of these up just because, I don't know, I just don't really collect these figures unless they're like limited edition, big popular characters. But these ones, we've got some of the Jedi from the series. We've got the some of the Padawans, we've got the we've got Sol, and we've got Carrie Ann Moss's character and whatnot, and we've also got the assassin, which we don't know if she is Sith yet or not, but she's called Mei. She looks like she's the antagonist up front, at least.
Of course she's not.
Of course she's not. Yeah. Toy line, dude. I think if I know the answer, you won't be picking these up, but they look pretty good though.
They do look pretty good. I've got a few 3.5 inch up there and a few of the 6 inch scale.
And down there.
Just so, hey, all it is. Looking at them, yeah, I'm the same as you. Like, I collect the figures of the people that I like and the people that I'm, you know, that I sort of relate to as a character. So, yeah, I'll not get any of these just because I don't know them well enough yet either. Mm. It's not like I might, you know, if I look at I've got Maul up there, I've got Hoth, Luke Skywalker, 3PO, Rex, the Emperor, a couple of times, Akbar. They're all people that I look at and I'm like, yeah, cool character. And I think you need a bit of time to understand that you like them as a cool character. So for me, it's not something that I'll get, but I would imagine these will be, you're going to see these in toy shops. These will be in Forbidden Planet for like 17 quid or 9 quid or 12 quid in a year's time. But I don't think these will quite sell as much as like the limited edition George Lucas Stormtrooper. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. I was going to say that, yeah. If The Acolyte turns out to be really good, which we're hoping it will be, the toys will obviously be popular, but fear not, there'll be a bunch of these in toy shops in a year's time that are like 10 quid, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be able to get them, won't you?
Yeah. But they do look pretty good. So anyway, The Acolyte, June the 4th, that drops. And I think it's going to be a 2-episode drop, I think, like they've been doing recently. So that'll be good. So we'll look forward to that. And you and I will do our... Well, listener, we'll let you know nearer the time whether we're going to do a weekly review of it or we'll just do it all at the end. Who knows? We'll let you know nearer the time. But that will do it there, I think, dude, for episode 230. Well, that's been another week and another episode of Spark of Rebellion. Thank you very much for joining us once again as we round out all of the Star Wars news and keep you up to date with what's happening in a galaxy not so far away. Make sure you're following and subscribing wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss every episode that lands weekly every Saturday. And we're on the socials too. Hit us up over there. We post little bits of Star Wars throughout the week. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram. And you can shortcut your way there by going to sparkrebellion.com/Twitter and /Instagram. And if you want to join our other members and supporters, if you like Spark Rebellion, you can do that over at sparkrebellion.com/support. And thank you so much to our current supporters for all of your support over the last few months, years, whatever. It's very much appreciated. Dude, I'll see you next week. No, I won't. I'll see you the week after next for episode 215.
Get out.
For you.
Yeah, I'm at Podcast Movement, but... yeah, thanks to everyone. Thanks to Mike and to Denise and Pascal and to, well, to everyone that just supports us. And enjoy the early access to the episode. Thanks to Danny. Danny actually let us know. We should shout out Danny. He let us know about a couple of these stories this week about the Empire State Building and a couple of the others. So thanks, Danny, who also supports us and will be listening to this on early access. So yeah, see you when I'm back in a couple of weeks.
Indeedy. Safe travels, dude. And dear listener, we will see you next week. So until then, take care of yourself and may the Force be with you always.